on the BetMGM Network. This is the Daily Tip. I'm Chelsea Messenger. He's Michael Jenkins. Over the next couple of segments, here's what you can expect. Of course, the NFL starts tomorrow, so we're catching you up on all of our previews in the AFC. We'll preview the AFC South, the AFC West, give you our bets for both of those divisions. Next segment, we'll go on to daily baseball bets. If you want to win some money, or hopefully win some money, tonight we've got our daily action for you planned in the majors. All right, Jenks, since we're talking about my Titans and the AFC South, I was going to ask you, do you think the AFC South is now the worst division in football? Like, for the longest time, it was the NFC South with the Panthers, the Saints, which, I don't know, are two juggernauts. Maybe the Panthers will be better this year. But the Saints are going to be an anchor, I think. But I do think the playing field has been leveled, because the AFC South has not been great. Of course, my Titans got the first overall pick last year for a reason. So do you think the AFC South is going to reclaim the title of worst division in football this year?
God, the Saints are the big fulcrum point, right? It's the Saints. So it's close. I love that I'm having to pick a side here. Which division stinks more, the AFC South or the NFC South? I think it might be the AFC South, despite the Saints. Like, I feel like the Panthers could be better. I'm super interested to see how Bryce Young does this year, because he was actually very good at the end of last season. I feel like that's not talked about enough. Falcons should be on the come up. Bucks have won the division title three straight years. Yeah, I think it might be the AFC South. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, even if you go like head to head, like if this was like a golf matchup, like your top dog, the Texans, you put them against the Bucks, then you take the Bucks. Like, the Bucks, I feel like, don't get as much hype because obviously, you know, CJ Stroud, when he had his freshman campaign, was really, really good as a rookie. And people don't love to give Baker Mayfield credit, but I feel like they've gone toe to toe against some of the best teams in the NFC. And yet people are like, well, it might be the Falcons' year. It's like, how many times do the Bucks have to prove it to you? So I feel like I'm going to take the Bucks at the top spot. The number two team, the Jags versus, I think we'll put the Falcons there. Jags versus Falcons. Who do you think has a better season?
I kind of think it might be Jacksonville. I think the Jags are going to be better than expected. I think the Jags could win the division. And maybe I'm getting caught up in the whole Liam Cohen, Trevor Lawrence connection, but everything that I've read is that Liam Cohen, since we were talking about the Bucks, remember, Baker Mayfield had a career season under Liam Cohen, and that's why he was brought into Jacksonville, right? To be this offensive mind, to bring along their franchise quarterback. And I feel like with them working together in the offseason, everything I've read makes me think that Jacksonville could actually surprise the Texans. They're plus 310 right now. And so I like the value there. Their win total is only set at 7.5, so I need to pump the brakes a little bit here. Their defense is the real issue, but I think offensively they could surprise.
Yeah, I don't know. I still feel like the Jags need to prove it to me, because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like people have wanted to jump on the Trevor Lawrence bandwagon for like quite some time. Like, even last year, I feel like I was one of the people who were like, ooh, Trevor Lawrence, long shot MVP, question mark? But it hasn't been like a steady progression up for Trevor Lawrence. And I understand that a lot of it has been really difficult when you have such a turnaround of head coaches, and especially when you have a terrible head coach, like at the start of your career, in Urban Meyer, who probably undid a lot of good habits that Trevor Lawrence had coming into the National Football League. But still, I feel like I kind of need to see something else from the Jags. I think it's going to be the Texans for me winning the division, even though I will say this. They do have some weaknesses, especially along the offensive line. And here's the thing. If CJ Stroud goes down, they're not winning the division. So I think that's the biggest problem, is their offensive line. Gave up the second most sacks of any offensive line last year. So I know it's not something that is talked about. But CJ Stroud, I do think, has the better body of work, surprisingly so, even though he has only been in the NFL 2 seasons. So I think I'm still going to go with the Texans. I trust, you know, their front office a little bit more. I trust their head coach a little bit more, because it is still difficult to implement your system as a rookie head coach. You know, as somebody who has just gotten to the team. So, not that I'm writing off Leon Cohen. I am just saying maybe it takes a little while for the Jags to get their feet underneath them. So, I still am going to go with the favorites here. I know, you know, we always see a story of a team that goes from really bad to really good. I just feel like with all of the information in front of me, I'm still going to go with the Texans. And plus, you can get them at minus 105, which is a pretty decent price for a division winner. Win total set at 9.5. I'm not sure if I'd touch that. It's pretty high. Do think they probably do win 10 games. But I think I'd rather bet on them to win the AFC South. Just for conversation purposes, is there a way that either the Colts or Titans contend for the AFC South, or is this a two-horse race?
Oh, I definitely think this is a two-horse race. Like, with all due respect to your Titans, this is not their year. They're rebuilding, and I think we'll see Cam Ward, like a lot of rookie quarterbacks, have an up-and-down season, and he will sort of learn along the way. I don't even know if the Colts want to win. Do you know what I mean? Like, they have some offensive tools, I guess, but Daniel Jones is a proven commodity. He's not going to jump up and surprise us and become some sort of amazing quarterback. He'll drive the car. He'll have some moments where he looks pretty good. He'll take off. He'll show those wheels, and then he'll look like Daniel Jones. So this is really just Texans-Jags. I think the ceiling is higher for the Jags than maybe the Texans, but that all depends on Trevor Lawrence. It all depends on his development. Again, under a new system, under a new head coach, under a new offensive mind. And so that's why I like the Jags more than most. But ultimately, I just don't see the Colts or Titans. I mean, hell, we've heard rumors that the Colts were going to tank for Arch Manning, which I know now people are saying, like, why would you want to do that? Did you see him at Ohio State? All fair. At the same time, I haven't seen anything from the Colts that makes me think they're all in on trying to win this season.
Well, yeah, it doesn't feel like their year at all. I don't think that they're not trying to win. If that was the case, it would still be Anthony Richardson, even though I know he's dealing with injuries. But still, I think that they will be a team that can compete with the other teams in the AFC South. Will they be competing with anybody else? Probably not. But here's the thing. All these teams have relatively easy schedules. Like, even the Texans, who did not have the first overall pick in the draft, have the 18th hardest schedule in the NFL, which, Reed, is not hard. They'll play 7 playoff teams from last year. And then if you look at the other teams in the AFC South, like the Jags are 24th, the Colts are 25th, and, of course, the Titans are not going to have a difficult schedule because they lost the most games last year. Have the 29th hardest schedule. So there will be winnable games, but the problem is these are not very good teams. So all those games are certainly losable when you are that bad. I will say, from a Titan standpoint, the bet that I will be looking at is Calvin Ridley props. One thing we have seen throughout the preseason games and even in camp is the Cam Ward Calvin Ridley connection has been fantastic. And we see this a lot with rookie quarterbacks, is that they have a guy that they like to throw to. You know, they don't go through the progressions as much and they get nervous. They're like, hey, let's depend on a veteran. And Calvin Ridley's a good veteran to depend on. Guy is super fast. I feel like people forget how good his skill set is simply because he plays in Tennessee. So I think that's a bet worth looking at. Maybe, you know, across the board in every single game is look at some of his receiving props. Even though I know the first game of the season, it will be difficult going against that Broncos secondary. And you best believe Sean Payton will probably have a very difficult game plan in store for Cam Ward. So I'm not somebody who's super high on what we should expect from Cam Ward in year one. And I feel like I need to go back to, like, the normal saying for rookie quarterbacks is that it is just really difficult to be a rookie quarterback. And I understand that we have seen some outliers like Jaden Daniels last year, CJ Stroud is a rookie campaign. But I do think people don't really have that high of expectations for Cam Ward. So I do think that's a good thing. I'm not saying there's no pressure on Cam Ward. I just do feel like this is a season where if Cam Ward is mediocre, you know, hell, that'll even be better than the quarterback play we saw last year from the Titans. So I do feel like the pressure is off a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's one of the more fascinating discussions when it comes to the NFL, because when it comes to quarterback evaluation, like, we're just all over the place. All over the place. Like, a couple factors. Number one is, especially if you're a number one overall pick or a top five pick, you have these ridiculous expectations, right? And if you don't meet them immediately, then you're a failure. Like Bryce Young, I keep going back to that. He has gone from total bust okay? Doesn't belong in the league. He's 4 feet tall. What are we doing with this guy? He can't see over his offensive lineman to, he's okay. He's probably going to be done. And at the end of last year, it's, hey, this guy's got some experience. Maybe he turns into something. I believe at the end of last year, need to double check this, he had 10 touchdowns, 0 picks to finish the season. So people are saying, well, who is he going to be? This is year three. Another factor to take into account now is if you look at a Bo Nix or a Jaden Daniels or a Michael Penix Jr., these guys came in and looked great immediately. Why? Because they had so much college experience because of the COVID years, because of guys reclassifying. So that's going to go away. Now you're going to see guys come in less prepared than before because they had less collegiate experience. That's another thing. And then finally, quarterbacks in the NFL are just on a short leash anyway. Look at how Sam Darnold went from an absolute nobody, total bust, was in the MVP conversation last season, and then all of a sudden signs a massive deal with Seattle. Geno Smith, out of nowhere, was kind of a journeyman and then becomes a guy in Seattle, now plays for the Raiders. So that whole discussion when it comes to how a rookie quarterback is going to be, there's so many factors that go into it that you really can't just say after a handful of games how good or how bad this guy's going to be.
Yeah, and I do think being on a better team helps. Like, mm-hmm. Bo Nix going to the Broncos with a bunch of weapons around him and Sean Payton as his head coach, the quarterback whisperer. I am not saying it takes away from what he did. I am just saying it is not an apples-to-apples comparison. And, Jenks, to parlay that into our next discussion about the AFC West, oh, my goodness, the backtracking that I've seen on the narrative of Patrick Mahomes lately. I don't know if it was Colin Cowherd who said this or somebody who said, you can't deny that Patrick Mahomes, a big reason for his success is the fact that he went to the Chiefs. It's like, okay, but he's still a great quarterback. It feels right. Like people will do anything to discredit Patrick Mahomes these days. Like, I don't know if you saw the interview with Joe Montana the other day where he picked like his three favorite quarterbacks to like start a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Mahomes wasn't one of them. It was like, you know, Joe Burrow, which, okay, I get. It was Justin Herbert who, what has he won? Like, He's, you know, exciting to think about the potential. But I feel like it's a very similar discussion to who you think wins the AFC West. Because people have done this all the time where they want the next big thing in the AFC West. They have mm-hmm. sold us on the Broncos before. Remember when Russell Wilson, you know, came to the Broncos? Everybody said, oh, Russell Wilson's coming. They're going to be amazing because the defense has always been good. They just need an offense. What happened that year? The Chiefs won the division. And people have been trying to sell us on Justin Herbert for a while now. And listen, he has some good numbers. His mechanics are great. He looks like a prototypical Hall of Fame quarterback just because people have said this about him. He looks like he plays like Aaron Rodgers, but taller. So, like, it feels like he has all the tools. Mm-hmm. But, Jenks, I just can't pick against the Chiefs. Not until somebody dethrones them. So, once again, I am taking the Chiefs to win the AFC West. How about you?
Yeah, I would choose the Broncos over the Chargers. I go back and forth. Like, you're not going to find a more evenly matched couple of teams when it comes to the numbers, at least, right? Like, the Broncos mm-hmm. and the Chargers, both plus 310. To win the AFC West. The Broncos and the Chargers both have a win total of 9.5. Like, they're very similar, not necessarily in style, but as far as talent goes, as far as coaching goes. But yeah, it's the Chiefs until proven otherwise. I understand that they got run ruled essentially in the Super Bowl. They were awful. Patrick Mahomes looked terrible. And people are looking at that one game and finding a way to hate on him. Like, if he retired tomorrow, he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game, and he's not done. That's not hyperbole. He's a 2-time MVP. He's a 3-time Super Bowl champion and a 3-time Super Bowl MVP. That's Hall of Fame stuff right there, full stop. So he had one bad game. People want to hate on him. It is the Chiefs until proven otherwise, and they're motivated this season, which makes them really dangerous.
Yeah, and it's still Andy Reid, you know, mm-hmm. so it's just too many things. And maybe this is the year. It's just I can't make a good case for it. It's been the Chiefs Invitational when it comes to the AFC Championship game. So maybe this is, you know, a different year. I will say the Broncos look good, but I'll believe it when I see it. All right, coming up next, time to switch gears to baseball. Our favorite baseball plays of the day. Come your way next here on the Daily Tech.